Mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
Hello, you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, keeping Portland safe and in touch. Support your independent community radio station KBOO. You can donate via the KBOO website at kboo.fm/give. There's also a donate button in the mobile app, or you can text KBOO to 44321. But the best way to support KBOO is by becoming a member at kboo.fm/give. KBOO is a nonprofit, listener-supported community resource for people like you. This is Wider Window Poetry, and I am your host, Teal Ansari, bringing you voices you may not have heard from places you may not have been. But first, a word about the places where you are. KBOO Portland is located on land that includes traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Wasco, Cowlitz, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Molalla, and many others who made their homes along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers, creating communities and summer encampments to harvest and use the plentiful natural resources of the area. Portland is home to almost 70,000 people descended from these tribes and others. As a latecomer to this region, descended from slaves and immigrants, I thank the indigenous peoples of the Portland area for this place of refuge. This month, we're going to highlight Indigenous poets, more or less regional, but first, I'm going to read a couple of poems by Ada Limon, who is our new National Poet Laureate. Ada Limon is the author of 6 books of poetry, including The Carrying, which won the National Book Critics Circle Award for Poetry, her book Bright Dead Things, which was nominated for the National Book Award and the National Book Critics Circle Award and the Kingsley Tufts Poetry Award. Her work has been most recently supported by a Guggenheim Fellowship. She lives in Lexington, Kentucky, where she writes, teaches remotely, and hosts a critically acclaimed poetry podcast called The Slowdown, and her most recent book of poetry is The Hurting Kind. And this month, I'm going to read from Bright Dead Things. The first poem I'm going to read is titled Bellow. Tell the range and all that's howling, the flickers of life beyond the weeds, the vulture's furrowed brow of flight, the blasted sticky Canadian lawn thistle. Tell the clowned out clouds and the rain and all that makes you go quiet again. Tell them that you didn't come here to make a fuss, or break, or growl, or scream. Tell them, crazy sky and stars between. Tell them you didn't come to disturb the night air and throw a fit. Then get down in the dark and do it. And that was Bellow. And the second poem I'm going to read by Ada Limón is titled In the Country of Resurrection. Last night we killed a possum, out of mercy, in the middle of the road. It was dying. Its face was bloody, the back legs were shattered. The mistake I made was getting out of the car. You told me not to, but I wanted to be sure, needed to know for sure, that it could not be saved. Someone else had hit it. The sound it was making, the sound folded me back into the airless car. Do it fast. I lowered my head until the thud was done. You killed it quiet. We drove home under the sickle moon, laundry gone cold and dry on the line. But that was last night. This morning the sun is coming alive in the kitchen. You've gone to get us gas station coffee, and there is so much life all over the place. That was Ada Limón from her book Bright Dead Things. She is the 24th Poet Laureate of the United States. Next poet we're going to hear from is Cedar Saigo, who was raised on the Suquamish Reservation near Seattle and was homeschooled from 8th grade. In 1995, he was awarded a scholarship to study writing and poetics at the Naropa Institute. He's the author of Selected Writings, Death Race VSOP, Expensive Magic, Stranger in Town, Language Arts and Royals, and he's the editor of There You Are, Interviews, Journals, and Ephemera by Joanne Kiger. Cedar Saigo was the Bagley Wright Lecturer for 2019. He's given poetry readings at the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church, One Museum of Contemporary Art, the San Francisco Poetry Center, San Francisco Art Institute, and Beyond Baroque. And he now lives in Lowfall, Washington, where he's a mentor in the MFA program at the Institute of American Indian Arts and has also been a featured writer on Harriet. And I've collected some recordings of Cedar Saigo's poetry.
Yeah, you're right about these titles in this book. I always felt like I was like reading my own poems at a drive-in. This is called Marble Harbor for Bill Berkson. The apartment feels like newspaper headquarters, orange light facing off the brick. It's Clark Kent coming into work. We call him the poet as he brings us the unknown, anything that possesses him. A second castle drawing, ink, engravings of Gonsborg, abacus, earplugs, empty spools, slivers, a gold mine outside a mansion under a palm tree. Lust is the main distraction I find. It seems to interrupt the flow. December the 22nd, colored by and by. It's like that in the crawl space. Lines are more ribbon than wood. One does see the Sphinx, but the Sphinx stands for a secret, gods or circulating forces. I never knew anyone with a profundity of tact that came close. We all know we are just playing house. O blessed plain, O pointed chasm, new feudalism, distillation of a night the poets would pay for, Amish apple butter and snow we kept for you in our freezer, sweeping my unruly works into a book laid side by side, I just see dollar signs, a love whose burning light shall warm the winter night, that's all. Imaginary apparitions. Here comes my Chinese rug, success. Here comes my face, its plain desire. I swallowed the mirror, had nothing to wear. Old flame, second wind, pilled out last hangers on. The dead stock lilies opened overnight, cobwebs brighter than the light golden west. Shoot. I was tripping down, breathing in the torn black seabed's revenge, half a glass rising in Smoky Mountain hymns in lines, willow, coyote bush, coffee berry. Paris. I can disappear before your eyes, killing you. I slay you with my eyes. You disappear. That's how I would remember that line, and how to write, actually, certainly, stupidly. Only the ladies strumming language. They are not women. They are knights, wrestling these lines off the back of a knife. They have a second life spent in stone, and so attended. Bomb the bridge to heat my hands, work their handlers in order, go to the movies all day, only to collapse and focus, to finally hand off my faded flower. Caring and pointed, she brought me up and loosened my mind toward the checks and imbalances and cameos in Lucifer's Grotto. I remember a full-on Scottish plaid suit, the Gravitron sexodrome growing out of Apollinaire's grave. Empty balcony seats, operatic little fills, the poems of a multi-billionaire, a vow of silence, fine and mellow, all the things you are. Verlaine Blues. The rain sweeps through town, and I'm bleeding in pain, endless harping on strings of the rain. Mixed blood and live copper wire stepping down among the dead gray leaves. The flowers can't face me with their heads snapped and nodding out. I'm so sick of the rain, it soaks to my heart. Bottomless sea of Galilee, banging around in the dark, blazing forth as an open grave. I am reborn upon this downpour of despair. I am embarrassed. I can't stand the rain. It falls upon the young, disenchanted, and desperate, upon those dressed in black, in mourning. Go away from my door. I've got time alone and trouble for days. Sometimes I get the blues when it rains. Panels for the walls. Leave the long fall between us, peak after peak. Here were my paints and there were my powders. And then I was drunk and we lost each other. My shadow tumbled after, soaking cinnamon leaves in the lake of the moon. The roll of the damned drum calls me to duty, the dice in the light of the lamp. I hear a stone gong. I lean full weight on my slender staff. Yellow leaves shaken and petals confused to my garden. The hard road is written to music, how lovely locks in bright mirrors in high chambers. The moon shows further, a gold and silver terrace. The northern grass is blue as jade, a dream venting in the pit of heaven. Plains Pictograph. I have been described as private. That's other people. You never really know. One year, I sent everyone a slice of the rose for Christmas. It was meant the way it sounded, withdrawn. Two fires on the high road whistling. The phone only echoes back my voice. Entrenched mirror, high-rise pathways, pistol unit, sword, English glossing, streetlights sniping back. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Cut the light, shut the shade, hollow thy mountain. I think I still am, stirred mind, heard words, some of those nightmares, some of these days. Just a gigolo, solo, Sears, free land, blow your gold leaf sweetheart deals, and money to my love letters, rivulets, tons, minutes to go, blinding ices, Jesus pieces, high praise. This poem was it was like a retranslation of Shakespeare's sonnets. I think half the people in this room are in this book. But I got assigned number 35, And I put in some lines from Ted Berrigan's Sonnet 35. Fuck off with your crippling guilt. The earth has edges. Boys get thrown in fountains. Dusk is painted over the moon. The sun grows black in your sleep. Peel back your lotus to its bloody root. No one is beyond reproach, except the Indians. And still I twist your fault against my grip. My head spins when the old bull rushes, feels your whore bath past the brim of night. I suffer this reversal right beside you. I talk myself out of the song. I plead, go to the sea, the lake, the tree. Hear the acid burn round my skull. You're so fine, I still play dumb, a zombie dust inside your lungs. Draw me in deeper with deceit and smoke. Let's go again. The underwater box escape. After dark, let hot blood run over my basket. Remind me to ask him back. The edges of the flatware plated, more than beveled, gilded. The first spring of light, long as a lance lingers, whose pointed end tips the first floor. Heart of the target, left of the lens, talking with himself between stations, on foot. The call to battle, but a whisper, a ribbon loose, up and over the hill. Moondog turns back the children's crusade. His Citizen Kane Junior blues instill bravery and blood weddings, webs, spirits drawn as upright flames tied to a masthead. They work in reverse off the waves, picking up where I slack off in Macau and Bolinas. My face most drawn at the shadow's end, corners of my mouth bathed in black, bouncing back. After self-help. All my rooms are alien. Towers of books tilt and crumble at the least extended breath. A matinee beyond recall. Brown birds pale-breasted darting through. Too late, hello, later. Kiss the lights and they change out over the stardust. Cities are huge machines for sorting poets. Skating down the cellophane and folded hills, even cast-off lines have their own pull and rhyme. Man at leisure, ripped out of my mind, lonesome after mine own kind. Hot black, soft white, warm reds. Mine a thinking man's cartoon western. Mine the one who enters the stories. Mine the evergreen tears brushed with coral. The boat in the box is mine, and mine the full sky. Dream. A curtain dragging gold rises on the big heat. Two words are fused to a bloodletting chain. How beautifully the brakemen allow the blood through. I rest on the slip of the black coral sea, steel quilted in lines wider than the streets, pinned as a wing or thin cord that he summons in order to drive us away, that glamour is an investment involving desire and unreality. The poems are perfect laid-back time machines, ground-blooming flowers, their endless pastel grime in streaks, a blocking of my own in expertise, a tunnel, blown down past the marble to brass, and first to charge the shore, waving our shields. A castle left cooling to ruin, and the islands will flower in and out. This is called Omnicord for John Colletti. Vampires dreaming elephants are good lottery luck. Moroccan things, Casablanca, boy hustlers, hash, Brian Geisen, argan oil. Digging up the city of Poseidon, who are old money and quick to correct me. If you don't want, you lose the flow, though. Several words, whole dream. Sirius is the dog star, man. The sun just had a tornado, sable on blonde. I think it was you. A parasite got control of the speech, intricate landscapes, jewelry, all that. Assigned exercise. And I am the man that every sound in this room will come from, a lovely new control panel. I am still finding my way. There is no protection, though one would be that at any cost for one's loves. Those harbor lights I have kept in line and still sidestep. Sparks off the halo reach a far wall. The desk is piled just right, mostly dream. I have scored a few extra fields, two with typed poems, sitting perfectly straight, no need to fuck and turn in early, after my smoke and simple hanging of the robe. I have been made messier, more myself, disgusting. Maids, car and driver, trust, new ways for enforcing a long thread. Curtains flung, choir slanted, drones on the wind. My sensitivity creates technique. The suite left open in slender gate, key doors shining forth. A level in concentration few can make it through. And Ed has it, and Jackson. Write it all down, hide it, before I hate the exhaust. The next day builders fit it all in. To hear the actual words aloud. Language Arts for Dana Ward. Moose Jaw Times, Herald Mets, Yellow Bits. In a sprung for Yolanda game, you know I am boss. In the shade of the running board, sun, eagle, owl, diamond dove feathers take me down. Please stop this. I'm headed your way. This is the happiest unrelated night of my life. Look on the notes. See you pinning it on me. World of pain. Games 2 and 3 exceed in value as fits. There are so many poems to go around tonight. There is not one game in town. A bishop who ate the vessels hid the words to gain his finish. A dust died up the sides, who fell into its rot, rekindled in words. Did you see how deep mine dug? Since when does she sing? She wrote her pool hall memoirs for money, as did Kafka, Chester Himes, and Valerie Larbeau. Spackle, you fuck, build my fort and score the edges of my lozenge. Sized everlasting, mineral makeup, gray on camel tone, grayish. I, too, know what I am not. Watching electricity return to a town across the river, learned germs, fields of excised herrick, shaving faded flu lads, I still possessed a swiftness of spirit, Chinese bound in covers of hammered card, brittle Jewess, sour earthworm eggs, morning in Keyport, a well, a jet of ink. After dark, we wake again. Picking clean stones from the beds of our teeth, etching with a ghost, dark red, brown, blue, black umbrella. I love strangers in an ailing mansion. That's how they've groomed the stars of today, as escorts. I saw so many people I used to know. I like my nice Portland white friends. They live to be super young, pretty, sloshed professionals of the language. Leave our machines running in plain view, in space surveillance variations. Philip Lamantia action figure. But I always think it could actually be Ariel Goldberg action figure. You look exactly like the young Lamantia to me. I miss the old alchemist who was sane, precocious. What made tarot cards and fleur-de-lis chariots, my heart to shackled towers. Fitted cap, fur coat and collar, long-sleeved bodysuit, matching socks. I cast the mold and set him out to cool myself. Painted arched black eyebrows, mouth always moving in a bloodline. He can power punch, plus his dream of weapons, a pickaxe, penknife, and pistol. Setting sail like Henry Hudson or Magellan, only these are poets. Breton would be in a separate villain series. Estranged elegance, a tunnel, or strands of dead smoke, parting ways. Green Rainbow Song. Hung up on my hearing, and deep in whose playbook, one too many nights and never a blackout. Doing the best I can, only a man, it hurts me too. Blues in the night, Verlaine blues, sitting here thinking a blues for Anne, all nerves, and mine the most dirty, unhurried afternoon jags. A freshly penned lyric for sinking to autumnal Atlantean shade. I wish us more luck. I wish my little tiger lily sheltered in a clear crystal box being carried. Green pearl-handled mallets edging the annunciation toward a new burn. The chamber of maiden thought is metered. Big fields, villagers, stars on the back lot blues. It's the smoke spot I shade softest, a curve so tight it's really blind. The chamber gives way to the word, in this case, mine. Guns of the Trees. A set of notes detailing the caves of an impeccable gentleman, a Minotaur poet. The most devastating silence of the first 10 books. A fantasy of Philip Lamantia as an action figure, stripped naked with special audible scream switch buttons. Reimagining Grace Cathedral as the great symphonic hall of coconuts. Oh, the book is resting complete in a Chinatown basement. A poem I puked drying out at a hot springs in love, winding through the dry hills of neem leaves. An exaggeration of music I thought younger poets admired. The trimmings I knew I could press new meaning in between. I was endlessly in the mood and working this lace front, that words as force walk the earth. I tried to show a sailor bounding through his life in silhouette. I'd rather live on my own with my magic lantern. I'm sick of public schools that reek of church. Drink, fuck, breed, light the top shelf. Pressed green woods with light standing even straighter. He is standing on my eyelids and his hair is crossed with mine. Giving flat girders to the dream poem. It's all about the filthy paint of a room that empties out at night. Scotch tape wrapped words guarding fissures of light. Brackage and Bob Dylan jokes I wrote exclusively for money for the recluse. Fished out from the threshing odds and ends. A song I thought was lost, the lines were nothing on their own. A diorama whose language goes ahead to shatter the glass, billion-dollar kickflips in your honor. A poem named for a racehorse, named for weed. A perfect approximation of the opening smile. His poetry would make great bronzed Inuit blues. My feast was in the easy blood that flowed. A dark, skittering travelogue I almost didn't type up, the most breakup-like drivel, number 35 with lines from two sonnet cycles, translations via telephone, such civil wars in my love and hate, lines in which I know the way the music lays. I back away from the wall. I wanted the deepest impression, a line torn from its plush root, occupy damaged or inspired. They are reverse black Nazis in unfunded wheelchairs. I can't keep up. Wiping black snot onto white sleeves. Another last-ditch genius fuck. the morning after a long night, hot in Fort Greene, back on the West Coast writing it, desk faces wall, a Chinese distillation to illustrate the offing, panels for the walls of heaven, really concealing its canals, haranguing the Provençal into a blues again. It closes too tightly. Trample it down to its esteemed place in language arts, in homage to his wealth and willingness to go down on his masters. A matter of course under Bismarck bridges, it's more a leaving off of the grime sometimes, entered cities of boiling red dust. Ode for Nine Voices. Earth seems the haloed side of a flat stone, flaunting its gold-blooded diamondback secrets, that we are all one, that we haven't the privilege or time to change our minds. I chance on a lyre to liven the lights, to bear down up my coast, on rims to roll out. The mirror and corridor both have voices. They are without attendant siren. I was a Balinese separatist poet, where the epigrams say more when cannibalized, held aloft in a fog of queer voicings, when the waves are altered to approximate the kiss and death and haunting in the woods behind the house. We shall restage Apollinaire's last hot march into evening air. Excuse my fragile spiral, excuse my horse cock, unveiled in Byzantium. No longer alone in the hotel casino made famous by poetry, lashing every mixed feeling on black against the walls. The most incisive jagged script for 12 hands. One is trapped in vocoder delay and dates horribly. The first spasm blanks in the guns of the trees, each line peeled and bitten, brushed out from its paper. The poets in glowing lab coats, expository prose, lightning white arms crossed with strobes. I turn my spade to the inset language, turning up late every other night to demonstrate my own take on the sonnets, the lyric, even the most divided, arresting arts of love. This poem was initially dedicated to Amiri Baraka, and then I took the dedication off. I realized it sounded more like Leroy Jones. It's called Portrait in Black. Love is a trance, anyway. Poised Egyptian queen of the compound accent. The moon is down in the offstage dark, and the demons in tears, sipping La Heretique, long dead, half under the shade. They lie face down in the long passage. I go full on spaz, all asides, imperfect pitch, a sutra for hobbling harpsichord, cobwebbed keys thinner than reeds. The amp would cut out at key points in line with my little suede two-step. The service I provide is a more addictive series. Worn plots are left deep. Hung queens get hanged for the warm red crush. We have to talk in every room to solve the dream house, to consider which poems I will allow to be lyred and felt up, perused over shots, blunts in a smoke-stained study. My heart is the most fucked country, a sketched, uneven valley grove of bones. You can only capture the poets and keep them lurking when everyone seems an undercover statuette of eruptions. May dies in June. The lady caps her brandy in wretched, unmistakable silence. And I'll read two more poems. Heat Waves in a Swamp. My arrows are stuck downstream. Trees lean like empty stalks, on guard to the great morning star. Its beads of sweat are pure and black. I've come to say much that's been left out. I'm stealing less and less, camping out near the aqueduct. trading off either accent and popsicle sticks in crucifix. I'm drunk on bluebird wine and blues, wearing them lightly as elements go. I'm screwed, tattooed, and pulled out from the lineup, a jewel thief in from the cut, aching to walk the plank out back. I was booked in dreams, too, both legs up on the door, pulling the handle with my diamond choker straight dragging me down. I was considered less suspect with a family to support, when selling out is full of virtue, door to door shut with foreboding, no fear of death. I am thrown back as a bolt of knives, trembling so hard they cannot be held, born reversed as chimes in mid-rain. It was really a word spoken in the hand, a steel blue harp torn from the great hovercraft closet of lines, my whistled hunting songs, now bronzed, intoned, green. Again, she's gone. After the Oracle. First time in a long time, the depth of impression is straight ahead. Overall condition noted, continued. Change the angle of approach. The beam always widens, and lightsabers surround the doorways to save us. I'm turning the poem around in my window for joy, and there is no text begging to drop by, allowing for such a thing so hot that setting sun rocks held by taut strings. The silk of furniture is burned alive by a futurist, a linoleum cut of a gash. Clean the spit valve, not often. Kit caught his bus, Emeryville, before a train to Portland to read. Tell them all hi. I cut the small black shadow of a jet and I'm moving it about the sky in the postcard. Mount Olympus, blue, Bailey Range from Hurricane Ridge, right here with you after all night. Thank you.
That was Cedar Saigo reading for the Poetry Project. You're listening to Wider Window Poetry on KBOO. KBOO 90.7 FM. The next poet we're going to hear from is Joan Navayak Kane, who is Inupiaq. She grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, and her family and people are from King Island. She earned a BA at Harvard University and an MFA at Columbia University. Her collections include Dark Traffic, Milk Black Carbon, Hyperboreal and the Cormorant Hunter's Wife, as well as the chapbooks The Straits, Sublingual, A Few Lines in the Manifest, and Another Bright Departure. Her honors include a Whiting Writers Award and a Creative Vision Award from United States Artists, as well as fellowships and residencies from the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation, the Rasmussen Foundation, Alaska State Council on the Arts, the School for Advanced Research, Harvard's Radcliffe Institute, and the Guggenheim Foundation. And the readings we're going to hear from her were recorded in Harvard and Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi, Ilihanemik. First, I want to acknowledge the sacred land that we live and work on today. It's long served as a place of meeting and exchange, and it's been the site of human activity for more than 13,000 years. This land is the territory of the Massachusetts people and their neighbors, the Wampanoag and Nipmuc people, who have stewarded this land for hundreds of generations. Today, this area is home to more than 6,000 indigenous people from hundreds of tribes and nations, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to live and work here. To recognize the land is an expression of gratitude and appreciation to those whose territory you reside on, and a way of honoring the indigenous people who have been living and working on the land from time immemorial. It's important to understand the long-standing history that has brought you to reside on the land and to seek to understand your place within that history. Land acknowledgments don't exist in a past tense or historical context. Colonialism is a current and ongoing process, and we need to build our mindfulness of our present participation and complicity. It's also worth noting that acknowledging the land is indigenous protocol. Ilihanemik. four-line stanzas. I'll get into more of the technical stuff in a second. I'll read the poem now. Legend, one. I would have been a girl, bound in stone, quartz coarse, cracked, and whitening as bone. Os, echoing away from twin calderas, but for a long string which drew me to the sea. A 16-strand sinnet laying on sand marks the rivers, unbraiding, knotted, and plaiting their skeins toward the basin, where a red-throated loon, shot through the eye, yields his largest rib for an awl. At our junction, a bunch of feathers. I take a brittle weed and leaf, thumb chert blade, gray. Our junction, a fumarole. When it smokes, I lose sight of the girl. It is nothing to know the rift and buckle, to witness the sun eclipsed for days on end, the bruised field redden and freeze. Two. The sea then, our garden, a film char of oil on water. A hiss of tides run up to that which was burning and has gone out, a slow erosion. It is one thing to give oneself to water. I wore down to a spur of myself. A bird with nowhere to land alighted on a femur, a terrible need. The land took a drink of the sea, mountain valleys soft as throats. She knew of submerged peaks recollected in an unheard song, seized in a lesser fever. The induced shore keeps still a drowned order. Three, meant to have gone to famine in a season recurring from wind, it would not turn. Into a deep snow and sleep I shook again. If she could not beat the lightness from her clothes, it would become a layer that eddied around in mouth, myriad, and everywhere. No animal stirs in the noiseless quick of a year of two winters but marrow. Gristle of a bloated fish, roots split and cached, skin torn from the hull of a boat long withdrawn from water. Four. Hers, a burial in damp sand by the springs. Through December, willows green there, alder bark reddens against late snow. Those dead, too numerous, no loosened tombments beneath scars of rock. Nothing roots in the oldest graves, lichen lifts with a fingernail scrape. Leave belongings piled, the opaque white bead now unstrung, the unidentified fragment, ivory ferrule, the small human figure carved of wood. So here we go, Hyperboreal. Arnica nods, heavy-headed on the bruised slope. Peaks recede in all directions, in heat haze, evening in my recollection. The shield at my throat, ornamental and worse. We descended the gully, thrummed into confusion, with a last snow melt, a tricklet into mud, ulterior. One wolfbane bloom, iodine-hued, rising on its stalk into the luster of air. June really isn't June anymore, is it? A glacier's heart of milk loosed from a thousand summer days in extravagant succession, from the back of my tongue, dexterous and sinister. Iridin. A coastline, a transitional place, bears evidence of others dwelling. A house pit in the shape of a nest, another like a knife, a noose not lost in time. Ours, a useful relationship, though not a tight one, for between us we knew there was something to lose. Fragrant in June heat, in a field of confusion, nothing like metaphor. Moss campion, minute orchids, sweet, sweet vetch. The dissolve of voices. There are seven moons tonight, and somehow bowels beyond the scaffolds. In the streets, she was lost to me. In the streets, I have imagined light, a kind of it, though it too has long since vanished. It cannot be summoned through fire or smoke or other oblivions as all the men fall away like snow, settling into new designs of havoc until sifted anew in gusts in passing. After all, I look down and do believe evasion is not a home. In the wing bones, a susurration, a squirrel snare for our relations, a reason for the patterns of our movements, dances, a truss of staffs bound with bands stained by alder, the river's glossal, a mask subsumed in a mass of stones that seems something like a man. bladder, blood, and lung of a bear dropped from exhaustion. A love absolute of places once unknown to me. In a warm room, we were altered together. Beyond this, comprehended for a plural. Unachtarit, which I'll give you the courtesy of an English translation here, means people related through common possession of territory. Unachtarit. The enemy misled, that missed the island in the fog. I believe in one or the other, but both exist now to confuse me. Dark from dark, snow from snow. I believe in one craggy boundary, knife blade at the throat's slight swell. From time to time, the sound of voices as through sun-singed grass, or grasses that we use to insulate the walls of our winter houses, walrus hides lashed together with rawhide cords. So warm within the willows and gathered forced into leaf. I am named for your sister Navayuk, call me Asong. Surely there are ghosts here, my children sprung from these deeper furrows. The sky of my mind against which self-betrayal in its sudden burn fails to describe the world. We, who denied the landscape and saw the light of it, leaning against a stone wall, ragged, I began to accept my past, and as I accepted it, I felt, and I didn't understand, I am bound to everyone. Seish. The Rift Lake, too, refuses coherence of any sort, its ice encircled by trees, dark though slowless, whose unleafed limbs yaw untroubled by snow, in its own right dense and historical. And so, let us forget metronymic rhythm, improbable as it is beautiful. A cold moon, a talk scene, peeling. The page become an outline for the lake entire, which, as we see, is not whole. On an overflowed shore, the fractures give unto other fractures, minor but not of little matter. In months to come, the children will draw distinctions between shock and aftershock, note the beads of sap globed gold from the fissured truss that would be what? Body of woman swindled down to water. I split ourselves into the brimming sky. Rehearsal for surveying the ruins. Unable to construct a more compassionate narrative, I have drowned and turned back into myself, pitiless, traveling north against the waves. If, at the end, I remain paper thin, I do not want to hear ceaselessly of it. I no longer circle the graves of the dead, the ones who exact so much from the living. Beneath a birch whose limbs had grown too large, I left 11 lanieries and poppies gone to seed. Some objects I slipped from their brackets. Others we concealed from all seers, save the skulk of polar foxes in their blue morph, who may soon inhabit what yet stands of the house as we abandon it. Let us thwart deceptive emptiness and suppose a deaccessioned hawk and handsaw through the scuttle, for I had, and would have had again. Rookeries. All men knew a secret of the northern part of an old world, a less perfect idea. For the bicornuate woman, it is an island. If there, the birds lose our trust, we might learn their language. After all, we have been taught to read and write, to remove our hands from other work as we watch water twist into rock, to cover our wounds, staying alive light after light. For something I worry. The moon pronounces with clarity its known topography. Our letters and lists, reconstructed grammars. They replace the ways in which we were grabbed, then pushed and shoved. A fine wife and her children set to rove with indefinite orders. Lineal migration on a small scale. A purpose was not nautical, but conflictual. of those men, we knew I could never do them any good. In this way, I forget and let the wind and river such gales and tears at my shoulders and wrists. This is the penultimate poem I will read. It is called Dark Traffic, and it is the title of this next book I'm working on, or finishing, have finished. And its epigraph comes from James Merrill, which is, yes, melting changes the whole picture. And it's kind of a nod, just like some people are called an Eskimo's Eskimo, some people are called a poet's poet. So anyway, James Merrill, Dark Traffic. And the snows buffer the sound of a voice set forth. I thought you lost already, that you had gone to neglect the late migration. Before it ceases, the ice collapses easily. There is no day without a symptom. Consolation may turn out to be a guttural practice after all, the small gesture of sound lodged deep before it glides without warning downward. There is nothing but the wind, a howl and dive where water is thrown over water and sown into it. A howl and dive of wind, water over water, where once we found ice, where the snow once stuttered the sound of that shouter shouting for this listener, holding her head in her hands, the head in its fine, blank way, an original. Okay. Last poem. Once again, Iliranemik. Poem is called Nunitak. In a strait, some things are useful, others true. She turns to ash, thrust thus, her head thick with arrogance, infection, and futility. It could be how a young wife went, strewn with net-veined willow and mountain avon, trespass and wreckage. She could write about the year she turned to heat and haze, to lays, imumurat, imarach, dunga, of cannula and silver nitrate, of petiolus and akin, about to begin again, of greens as they green, of a man aged, eskered, of a confined gleam, to hereby dissolve and hold for naught the soil, gravel, silt, groaning as the tools of our penultimate glacier, a glacier I might pronounce like grief. One does wish for words to thaw in the mouth, but find instead a tongue welt, erosional or depositional, raised and visible, rift into language and grit.
Uvla lautok, wanga aterenavayuk, obuive mihurunga sulikayer mihurunga. Good morning, I'm Call for Navayuk. My family comes from King Island and Mary's Igloo. I'm Joe Navayuk Kane, and I'm reading today for Poets House from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'll read from Milk Black Carbon, Sublingual, Another Bright Departure, and some new poems too. Savak ang Mayra. I opened the door. The fictions of an eternal blue noon, small throes of women in the engine, whose green tresses noiselessly tangle into Artemisia Tellesi as if bruised underfoot, where he pelts the shadow cast down upon a thin layer of new ice, never dry, upon a hollow bed of waters run again into the notion of a distant silver cord. I don't advance a step, the mind too erratic, distracted, is discontinuous at best. Epithalamia. Butane, propane, and lungful of diesel, I did not stand a chance. Always with poison breath, bill, responsibility, a man with road hands. Everything in exchange, rain in a frozen season. Our roof, roofs strung with hot wire. Our love, what was, an impression of light, gaunt. There is nothing to get. Milk Black Carbon. Observe the coal dust over boats in the harbor, the snow load on the glacier. Take in the woman who pursues a myth to counter another myth, what gazes scatters and filters, each respiration blurs an image. The coal tipple tilts in its blue skin, meadows blonde. From open shelves, honey jars tumble the split and spill in the gasp of a tumbler. The thick odor of a nearby smoke will signal the end of something not summer. The fire veins, as sap does, translating stands of beetle-killed spruce to crackle and torch. She cannot hurt too much too long. Take in the woman you have not become, and then take a little breath and hold your breathing. Breathe. Don't move. And hold your breath again. Upon learning that she's hung a fox pelt from Ted Hughes from the rafters above her desk. Not an easy thing to shake as she defers her rapprochement with Apoidea over false oxlip and phlox. A glacier makes a river of ice, of earth, of everything that is and is not she. A paradox. The present is a dark text to return into. She strikes the bright inscriptions which might yet teem for a long time. We tread the paths of myth, grown sick like the boy who banged in ads until it grew dull and the snow ceased, and like that which presupposes it and us, line, image, lilt. I am not quite myself within other declarations. I do not exult with great nimbleness and did not notice the lemming as he slipped through a hole in the fenestra on some annual migration to the sea, past himself as his own pelt monger, and far past the point where he pulled an awl through the fosses. In these words, enclosed too at times within the old enchantments, one broods beyond the problem of being bound to place, to anything at all, and then the ballista too becomes its own source of wonder. An omen, albeit one tempered by the concise splendor of a mind as it moves quick on sick within the confines of night. Breach lyric, split time. Will she? She will. Explicate the fixed architecture as it flickers by, trying over and over its broken line, trying over and over its broken line, trying over. Counterpane, which begins with an epigraph from my son, George Kukulik King. It's look how strong the wind is, it's taking the memory out of the trees. Counterpane. Look at us as if we live and inhabit our language when we can, despite the plane writhing into its crash, its prang as it was to leave Savunga. There were no survivors. On Uluwok, my uncle starved as another pilot failed to deliver staples such as flour, sugar. He could not land. Instead, an airdrop, another rending. My grandmother, a woman removed from other women, she did not beg but bade them scraped the burst commodities, raisins, rolled oats, and so forth, from the island's boulders, those that had parried down the isle slopes into the deep imperfection of the ever-deepening sea. In an orphanage, after having survived much too much, the reindeer station, death letters from Teller to Jabbertown, the flu pandemic of 1918, reared she was by the Ursulines, those holy virgins. I am no hagiographer, but oh, my bones. Sometimes there are even scars. In waking night after night in an apartment parched, I look out the window into the dark for some glimpse of what I've lost. An ocean that held so many boats, built by men, now dead. Numerous windings through scree to crown, cairn, blind, driveline. I see nothing but the sky. Sometimes stars as bright as collarbones gleam before I blink, then find these firmaments also disappeared. Other nights, something Atlantic heaves with rain. When the storm lifts away, perhaps it will have left gaffed fish, surplus for a child and another child to find. Perhaps I thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle